everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 126, recording February 8th, 2021. My name is Zach Anderson, and I'm super old now. Like, really, really old now. Anyways, with me as always, I have Mr. Shannon. Does it play like Xenoblade more?
Well, I mean, does it? I mean, it's a very important question. If I'm going to put 300 hours into a game, I want to know if it's going to play like something I love.
My birthday was last week, and I've put about a week into it, and so far, no, it just plays like arthritis. So it doesn't play like Xenoblade.
I mean, how does it control? Are the controls sluggish? I mean, do they stick?
Very sluggish, very sticky. There's a lot of
smell coming from the controller.
you know when like things start to wear down and the controller gets that grindy feel. That's what the feel is now. It's a lot of grind, you know,
like on those old N64 controllers where the white dust starts coming out of like the joystick.
Yeah, exactly. Like you feel like I literally feel pieces coming apart as I move, you know. It's like, so, oh, you know, man. two out of 10 would not recommend. It's not great.
But it beats the 2020 5-star rating, which is 1 out of 5. Right. So, I mean, you have to look at the glass half full instead of half empty now, because I mean, if you don't do that, you're just going to die.
I'm going to do that anyway. Anyway, also joining us, Justin Time Carter. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, and just to play off it, like the smell too, it's like when you put a can of Bush's beans like in the microwave and you like put just 4 minutes, but you forget that you put it for 4 minutes and you just overcook them in the microwave too long.
I don't think you can. I mean, like, you're not putting them in the can in the microwave, right?
You don't do that?
I mean, how many microwaves have you gone through?
Yeah, I wish you could have seen Shannon's.
How many homes have you gone through, Justin?
Oh, I don't do it at my home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. Word to the wise. Now, if you invite Justin over to your house, watch out.
In related news, Justin's best friend, Matt, has a brand new house. It's great.
Yes. Yeah. You see me rolling in with my Husky bag and full of baked beans? Look out.
Well, that's how he gets the Huskies home. They follow the trail of baked beans. When you get a can of Bush, I instantly thought the beer, and I'm like, yeah, it smells about that bad. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, we're all alcoholics when somebody sits there and says Bush, and everybody at first response is beer, not beans.
Oh, the ice? Yeah. Ooh, that was the worst. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Shannon, what's the worst ice beer you've ever had?
I think Natty Ice was probably the worst.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's pretty bad.
I mean, you could get like a suitcase for like $3, and
they'd work. They'd do the job. Like, not what I mean. You hated yourself, but.
Well, I hated myself anyway. So.
Yeah, that's kind of true. Like you're not grabbing a suitcase of Natty Ice just because
you know what you're getting into when you walk into a store to buy a briefcase or a suitcase of Natty Ice. There.
A briefcase. We should call it 18 packs of briefcase. That'd be pretty funny. But yeah, there was a hot minute there where they made Old English Ice, and you wanna it. You know, there's a moment when you're drinking it and you just know you've made horrible decisions. And this is coming from like when I was 20 and was making horrible decisions just on a regular basis, like a daily occurrence was an awful decision. And even in the middle of that, I'm like swigging on this 40, being like, man, my life really took a left somewhere. I don't know. Like,
let me evaluate my life while I sip this horrible beer.
Yeah, because goddamn, it tasted horrible. It was like the worst tasting thing in the world, but it was 8.4. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you might have saw the bottom of that 40, but you didn't remember seeing the bottom of that 40. It was one of those.
You never wanted to play Edward 40 Hands with either of those either, because like you just wake up with like just cuts all over the place and not knowing how you got them.
Broken glass everywhere. Yeah. You still have like the broken curve of the 40 tape.
Yeah, the tape is palms. Yeah, the tape is now congealed around your bloody stump of a hand because somewhere along the line you broke that bottle over something.
But enough about a Saturday night in 2000, you know, a Saturday night in 2000, like me and Shannon would have. Let's talk about current things. How are you guys doing? How's life?
Well, you know, I was trying to talk to Justin about the Super Bowl, but apparently Justin doesn't give a damn about sports. So,
you know, most times I would give him shit about it, but last night's game, good on you, Justin. That was, yeah, you made the right choice because that game sucked. Like,
no, okay. So can we talk about this for a little bit? I'm sorry, Justin. Sure. We're gonna bore you for a That's little bit, fine. But you know,
you go for it, Shannon.
You know, so what was it about the game that you did not like? Was it the blatant, you know, flag heavy refs, or was it like Tom Brady winning a seventh Super Bowl? Like, what was it? Like, because me personally, I'm tired of hearing about how Brady is the best of all time, like the greatest of all time. Like,
For me, to be honest, I wouldn't be happy no matter who won, because as a Raider fan, I have 4 decades of Chief hatred coursing through these veins. Mm-hmm. But like most Americans, I am sick to death of hearing about Tom Brady. So I'm with you on that. No, the refs were a little ridiculous. I think it's kind of crazy that they had a referee that named her child after Tom Brady reffing the Super Bowl that Tom Brady was in. That seems kind of nuts to me. I didn't know you could get passing interference calls by falling down and getting kicked in the face by the receiver as he runs away from you, but apparently you can. That's it. That was a new one for me. Also, as a Raider fan, I'm pretty used to seeing refs just kind of totally one side a game. It's not that unusual when you're a Raider fan. You're used to seeing a lot of phantom calls that don't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your quarterback gets clubbed in the head by 3 dudes and they're like, yep, fair, easy play, keep going. And you're like, wait, what? You know? So that was a little thing. That being said, the Chiefs just, you know, sorry guys, this is getting real boring, I know, but they were missing their entire offensive line. I mean, they had like their 4th string tackles, and the only guy that was the same was the center. Everyone else was different or hadn't been on the team prior to that year. So, and they played like it. Like, that defensive line was beating the living fuck out of them. Like, I know the linebackers on the Bucks get all the headlines, but Ndamukong Suh's still a real bad man, and he was feasting. Him and JPP were feasting. So it was one of those things I was hoping, because the Chiefs have that, like, oh, we have the comeback ability. You know, we always get down, but we always come back. And I'm like, okay, they get the ball at the beginning of the 3rd quarter. This is going to be, if they come down and score, we got a game. Like, we're in it. This is going to be good. And they didn't go 3 and out, but I think they went 6 and out. And then proceeded to get the crap kicked out of them on the next series. And I'm like, well, okay, game's over. All right. I mean, I legitimately turned it off with like 8 minutes to play in the game or something like that. I was like, there's no point in watching this. It's over. And I was right. So,
yeah, I think I came down in like the 3rd quarter with maybe like 3 or 4 minutes in, and I saw the score and I was just like, nope. I just did like a hard pivot and like walked right out of the room. I didn't even want to watch the commercials. I saw the halftime show. While I do like the Weeknd's like songs, and I did like what he was like, you know, the songs he chose. Mm-hmm. The memes about like were probably the most hilarious part of the Super Bowl experience. Just that whole
walking through the room thing.
Yeah. That was the best. Like I just love those.
The following your waitress to your table at Cheesecake Factory. That was a good one.
me 5 minutes after you give me directions.
me looking for my $2,000 stimulus check. Yeah, all those ones. Those are all really good. I'm going to take a brave stance. Are you ready for this, Shannon? I'm glad you guys are sitting down because I can see you. Outside of Prince, I think that was my favorite Super Bowl halftime show. Like, he killed it. Like, he was so good. And I kind of don't get what people, the detractors, are saying. Like, the things I've seen that are like negatives that, you know, that people are saying on Twitter or whatever, I'm like, nope, but I don't consider that a negative. Like, I thought he nailed it, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, 45 and under Twitter, I brought the age limit for you now, Zach.
Thank you. Thank you.
But 45 and under Twitter, you know, they thought it was just boring. And 45 and over Twitter, just didn't really understand what was happening. Actually, I shouldn't even say 45 and over Twitter. It's 45 and over Facebook. You know, everybody's just like, that was one weird show. I don't understand it. Like, it was basic. Like, there was no extra people that came in and did like a mashup with him. Like, it was really boring. But, you know, for somebody who shelled out $7 million of his own money to make sure that he got the creative rights to do his own Super Bowl show, I think says a lot about his performance.
Yeah, no, I mean, Prince is going to be the high watermark for me, like, of all time. Because the thing with Prince that was awesome was, like, outside of two songs, he didn't even play any of his songs. Like, it was all just, like, all along the Watchtower and Best of You and, like, all these, like, covers that he has never covered publicly before, at least not in a long time. And he's doing it in the pouring rain in the Super Bowl. And it was like, that's just effing rad. But, yeah, I thought it was really good. I mean, I'd rather watch that than, like, Bruce Springsteen or freaking, you know, Justin Timberlake sexually assault Janet Jackson or something. Like, I think I was more entertained, so... Justin, did you watch the halftime show at least?
No, but I did see, like, you guys were talking about all the memes with the weekend. I did see a lot of those on Twitter, and it's like the give my 5-year-old my phone for 5 minutes, and then the next day I see this picture on my phone.
Yeah. That one is absolutely true, by the way. 100% true. I have many pictures of my 3-year-old that look exactly like that on my phone. Because she'll just be like, selfie. It's like, oh god, here we go.
It was like, on a 1 to 10 scale, how would you rate it overall,
the halftime show?
Well, everything, or the whole shebang.
I'd give it like a 6, and that's only because the halftime show was good. Like, the game itself sucked. Like,
yeah, I'm giving it a 5 just for the halftime show. Everything else, the commercials, like the Rocket,
there weren't any good commercials.
They were, the only ones that were good were the Rocket Mortgage ones.
And the one where the computer game one where Samuel Jackson got eaten by a computer shark was pretty good. That was pretty decent. But outside of that, nah. Mm-hmm. Nah. It was, hey, you know what? It was the 2020 of Super Bowls. How about that? The perfect end to a perfect season. Anyway, shall we? Since we started with such positive good news, should we keep the vibes going? Should we just keep that train rolling? It's not on the outline, but I wanted to get reaction from you two fine gentlemen, specifically Shannon, because get your camera ready. There could be tears. Very quietly last week on February 4th. Activision Blizzard slipped out on an earning call that they don't see Overwatch 2 or Diablo 4 as part of its 2021 financials, suggesting that neither game is coming out till at least April 2022.
Wow.
Did you see that look of just pure hatred that crept over Shannon's face, Justin? That was fabulous. Like,
see it? I screenshotted it. Like, what are you talking about?
Dude, oh, look at that thing. Glorious. It's glorious. I think we have our icon for this week's podcast.
Oh man. That's just gross. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, Overwatch 2, I don't care about. Like, but Diablo is starting to get that Final Fantasy VII feel, like, or the remake, like, where they showed us the remake.
It was legit when it came out, finally.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's just, I know it's going to be a good quality game when it comes out, but like, what is taking you so long? Like you said, I mean, didn't they put out like a 15-minute demo of somebody playing as like one of the classes, like on one of the first stages? I mean, so it's got to be pretty far along if they're already sending out like tech demos. So, you know,
it might be one of those things where, you know, it might be as simple as COVID shutdowns really screwed them in a lot of ways and put them behind on a lot of things. Like it could be as simple as that. You know,
they just bought the people who made Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, the remix. And like, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, because they need help. Like, but also don't worry, because the mobile game Diablo Immortal is expected to launch this year. So don't worry. They got you covered.
I wish there was more water in that water bottle I could drown myself with. But it's just, it's not the news you want. The sex you want, you don't get. And the sex you get, you don't want. That's basically how it is right now.
Hey, but at the end of the day, you're getting sex. You know what I'm saying?
It's the whole, like, pizza thing, you know?
Even bad pizza is good pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can have some bad sex.
Yeah, and bad pizza. Did I ever tell you about the fish pizza they get ordered at my work one time?
What?
So, okay. Gather around, children.
What kind of people, dead people, do you have working at your job?
Gather around, children. I've got a story. So, Fridays, my work will spring for lunch sometimes. And one of the people at my work does all the ordering. And he comes around, he's like, hey, we're going to get pizza this week. And I'm like, oh, sweet. And get in the kitchen at lunchtime, and there is, let's see, there was a buffalo chicken pizza.
Okay.
A pizza that had white sauce, like bay shrimp, and cheese that had like a feta smell to it. I didn't taste it, so I didn't try it. And then there was a sauceless with sliced tomatoes and like something else pizza. And I was like, is this a joke? Like, what the fuck is it?
First of all, that person can fuck right off. He should be fired. Right? Second of all, you want to know how you could tell if somebody has COVID? They're eating the fucking shrimp pizza.
Right. Because totally. They have no taste or smell. Exactly.
Exactly.
And it's gone down in infamy. This was years ago, but like it still get brought up every time people are talking about ordering food. And it's like, oh, you want to get a shrimp pizza? Can we make that happen? It's like, so gross. Or anytime we get pizza now, like I'm specifically clear, like, yeah, pepperoni, just get that. Like, I know you want to experiment. I know you're out of the box thinking with your pizza. Stop. Just get pizza. Just regular ass pizza, please.
Yeah, experiment on your own time with your own
money. And by the time I got there, the buffalo chicken was gone because no one else was going to eat that shit. So my options were literally some like sauceless pizza with veggies on it or fucking bay shrimp. So I walked out and went and got food elsewhere.
I was going to say, you better tell me that you at least ate the sauceless with the veggies because...
No, I left and bought lunch is what I did. I said I'd rather spend money than deal with the shit. So I left.
Dude, yeah. At work the one time back when we were like in the office, someone put popcorn in the microwave. I don't know what they did. I swear to God, they put it for like 10 minutes or fucking something and just walked away because the popcorn that came out of there was like coal. Like it was black and like... Even people on the complete other side of the office, nowhere near the break room, could smell it. That's how bad. And it's like, because we're on the second floor, like there's no like windows you can open or like anything to like air it out. So they just like closed the door to the break room. It's like, even from my desk, like my eyes were watering from just like the burnt popcorn, like in the air. It was so awful.
That's awesome.
Well, remember, there's two kinds of people in this world. People that microwave fish in an office and people that hate that motherfucker. Like those are the two types of people in this world. So let's keep the good party times going. Also last week, it was announced that Google is shutting down its first party publishing at Stadia. And Jade Raymond leaves again. Yep. Hey, remember when Jade Raymond made a game like a decade ago and then got hired to make games and then got canceled? And then that next, let's hire Jade. Oh, wait, that's canceled. Like, at this point, I'm just feeling bad for Jade Raymond. Like, it's got to be rough, man. She just keeps getting stuff canceled on her left and right. But yeah, guess what? Stadia didn't really hit, and a company that is notorious for shutting things down shut down first-party development at Stadia. You have to imagine Stadia as a whole can't be far behind.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I don't remember when it was. I want to say it was like a couple months ago when they were like giving out Stadias for free to like YouTuber, like influencers and stuff. I was like, man, this is pretty much the kiss of death like, for the Stadia. When you're giving your console away to people with like 50,000 followers just to be like, please somebody fucking buy this.
Yeah, I'm not even surprised. I'm surprised. The only thing that surprises me about this is that it didn't happen sooner.
The bummer is the tech works. Like, the people I know that have it or have tried it are like, oh, it totally works. Like, you can use Stadia. It's just their business model is hot garbage. I mean,
who's going to pay like $60 to have a license? Just the ability to play the game. Like, if, you know, those people that paid for all those titles, when Stadia gets shut down, I mean, like, they're not going to be able to go back and play those games, right? I mean, like, they've just lost out on all the money.
Especially when game services like, you know, Twitch Gaming, or is it Prime Gaming now, and Epic Game Store exists that are literally giving away games every month. Just here's games, have games. Please use our service. Log in through our service to play these free games, and maybe you'll buy something else. I don't understand the business model of like it's a streaming game that you have to pay full price for. That makes zero sense.
I was like, the other problem is when your library primarily consists of games from 2014 to 2018.
Yeah. It's like you're not Nintendo. Like, only Nintendo gets away with that shit. You know, like,
hey guys, two words, Black Flag. You want to play it on Stadia?
and to be fair, if I had Stadia, that's probably what I'd be playing on it. But
that's what anybody's playing on it.
But I'm like, didn't this come out on the 360?
It did. I know. That's the thing is also they never followed through on the promise of, well, if you have the Stadia Pro, you're going to get every game at max settings. And like, you had this crazy gaming PC in your house that you didn't have to pay for, blah, blah. And that's just not the case. Like, Destiny 2 never did that. You know, like, and that was their like showpiece game when they launched, was Destiny 2. And now Microsoft kind of came in and ate their lunch by being like, oh, y'all like Destiny 2? Have all of it and all of the expansions on Game Pass. Just come get it. And it's like, at what point does paying for Stadia make any sense? It just doesn't.
It never did.
Never. I mean, the fact that they never hard pivoted to a Netflix style or Game Pass style subscription means to me that they're just waiting to shut it down. Like, they probably have contracts with third parties at this point that they need to follow through on. And I imagine the second all those contracts are up, they're pulling the plug. It's going the way of Google Wave and Google Hangouts and all these other Google things that they rolled out over the years that just one by one they let die. Somehow Gmail survived. I don't know how that worked, but you know. But yeah, kind of sad. Like, I like that. I mean, inevitable, sure. But I like that they at least tried something. They showed the tech worked. You know, and maybe this is something that Amazon, because Amazon came out after that being like, no, we're still in video games. We're still doing this. And maybe they've created a roadmap of what not to do, at least, you know.
I don't know. Amazon's got their own shakeups going on right now. And it'll be interesting to see if that service is still something that they want to follow through on. you know, I'd be interested to see what their revenue stream is on that, like how popular it is. I don't know anybody that's using it. But, you know, maybe for that price, it's sustainable at, you know, with not a lot of people in on it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I was like,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say it's fine because, you know, KFC is going to come in with their 4K chicken and just clean up house.
Hey, if I can get some chicken nuggies, like crisp, while playing a game at like the highest settings on my TV, I'm in.
The nug resolution though needs to be at its highest.
Extra crispy nugs.
Yeah, that sauce DLC.
It better come with like a sauce holder too. Like I ain't gonna mess with it if it don't have no dipping sauce holder.
Dude, it's in the controller. Like it's like a Dreamcast controller, but instead of a memory card, it's just like you put your like honey mustard in the controller.
You want us to talk about some dank ass sticky controllers? That thing's gonna be messed up.
But at the same time, I'm like, I'm listening. I'm listening. Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's I kind of want like this type of streaming stuff to exist because I think it's a viable option, especially, you know, with like you have a smart TV and you can just like log into a service and play shit and not have to worry about buying your PS5s and Xboxes and whatnot. But it seems like Microsoft has such a far lead on this now with Game Pass, especially if they get the xCloud stuff working and that can just roll in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it for a, you know, Amazon, Google size company to try to compete with that at this point. But
I mean, they could. I mean, if they wanted a market share, they would just have to buy the market share, right? Like, I mean, you would have to get some third party titles that are going to be exclusive to your streaming mm-hmm. service mm-hmm. to, you know, attract those people. I don't see why not. It's just, you know, do they want to spend that capital on video games or would they rather spend it somewhere else?
Sure. I mean, maybe it's something you can see Apple getting into with like the next Apple TV iteration.
Man, Apple's too busy. I mean, Apple's got Apple Arcade, which you can play on pretty much on any Apple appliance. And
no, I mean good games.
Well, I mean, you didn't say that. I mean, like, now you're being the rules. But, I mean, like, you know, they have something, and they're too busy building their Apple car to look into video games right now.
It's sad. Also, I don't think Apple really values video games at all as a business. Like, they've gone over and over again by their actions have proven that they don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, it's lumped into that. I mean, they have that all-in-one package right now where you get, like, the cloud storage. You get Apple TV Plus.
That's how I have Apple Arcade right now is through that package.
Yeah, that's the best package to have. $14 a month, can't go wrong.
Well, it's like, why the fuck would you give, any time of day to video games when you release a new phone for $1,200 minimum every mm-hmm. year? And it's like not even just one phone, it's like three phones.
That new electric car is going to be $10,000 for the body and $10,000 for each additional wheel you want. So, I mean, you know.
Exactly. But then you need new wheels every year. So
And then when the engine breaks down, you have to get a whole new car.
And the battery life just suddenly cuts in half when the new model comes out. It's weird. But yes. So, in other news... Hey, you guys ever wonder why we never saw the Nemesis system, like, ever in anything after, like, that one game used it and kicked ass, and it was the only thing that made that game really cool? Well, we kind of found an answer, which was Warner Brothers was trying to patent it for the last, like, 7 years and finally got that patent, and not a lot of people are really happy about that because apparently the patent is super vague and really broad, so... If you're trying to develop your own Nemesis system, kind of like, you know, backward engineer something yourself, you're probably going to run into this patent and it's going to be a bummer. So, but I mean, at the same time, I'm kind of hoping this means we get more Nemesis system. Like WB makes Batman games. Why has there not been a Nemesis system in a Batman game? It seems perfect. So yeah, what do you have thoughts on this? Justin, do you care?
Dude, I just thought it was like that kind of move just feels like a scumbag move to me. Like, the when you start like patenting like individual kind of concepts like that for like video games and stuff, that's kind of, that's like when fucking King patented the word candy or trademarked the word candy so that no like game could use the word candy in its title and stuff. Like, I'm like, that doesn't really benefit or like help the industry in any way, shape, or form. It just makes you look kind of like a dick.
Yeah, it's a kick in the balls for sure. You know, to other video game companies that probably would have done that better. You know, WB doesn't have a lot of intellectual properties that I want to see that Nemesis system play out in. You know, I've kind of had my fill of that Lord of the Rings universe, and Batman, while I haven't really given it a fair share, like, I do see it being the most applicable spot for this type of system to fit in. I mean, it would be badass to like get your ass kicked by Bane and then have him like level up and then like, you know, be trying to wreck shop on, I don't know, like Man-Bat, and then like Bane comes out of nowhere and breaks your spine. I mean, that would be pretty dope, you know, in that universe, in that setting.
I also think it would be kind of cool to like, you know, you get beat by random henchman number two or whatever, and then next thing you know, like, that guy is like a captain in whatever, you know, mob bosses, whoever's territory that is. And then it happens again, and next thing you know, he's like low tier rogue gallery guy. Like, all of a sudden he's like Calendar Man or something, you know, like it's, or something like that. And it would just got to be a cool way to like get some of those bottom feeder villains into the games without having to like make a storyline for them necessarily.
No, I mean, like I said, I see a lot of application for the Batman. I just don't see, I mean, it just sucks because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of other games that would really work in our itinerary. You know, I can think of a lot of games outside of that I would really like to see that in. Like, can you think of like a God of War with like a Nemesis system built into it? That would be sick.
Hell yeah. That'd be super cool.
It makes me sad.
Or even like a Halo or something like that would be sweet. Like, all of a sudden you've got like the King of the Grunts, you know, like coming at you or something. Like, that'd be
Or even in like Borderlands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Oh, Borderlands would be perfect for that. Like, all of a sudden one of the dudes is like nine toes, you know? He's like,
and you still get that shitty green gun.
You're just like, well, break it down.
Oh, I don't need to shoot poison, goddammit. I just thought it was interesting more than anything. Another interesting thing. Hey, remember E3? Remember E3 when that was a thing? And then 2020 happened and E3 wasn't a thing. But in some weird way, 2020 kind of saved E3 because I don't think it was going to be a thing. And then it couldn't be a thing. So they're like, oh, well, we'll just come back in 2021. We're just going to, that's, you know, 2020, man, it got on top of all of us. So we're just going to reconfigure and then we'll come back in 2021. And so they did. And now it's going to be an all digital thing. And except they don't have any developers with them on it yet. So I don't know if it is going to be a thing, because I think all these developers figured out last year, hey, you know what we don't need? We don't need E3, really. I don't know. Like, I think the month of March is going to be key if E3 happens or not. If you get, I mean, Microsoft is on the ESA board, so they're kind of in regardless. But I, you know, Sony was out last year. EA's been out. Ubisoft did their own thing. I kind of don't see where E3 could happen. I see a world where E3 just goes away. And that makes me kind of sad. But at the same time, it has become redundant in a lot of ways. So, Justin, as someone that makes video games, how do you feel about E3?
Wait, supposedly makes videos.
Easy.
I was waiting for that. It's okay. I was mentally prepared for. I was like, man, Zach's actually not going for the throat, and then Shannon came right in. kick me rump when I was down. I'm actually Justin, surprised. You're never down.
I'm always lifting you up.
Oh. I was like, I'm actually surprised that they're even, like, attempting to get this to... I honestly figured it was just something that, like, was never going to happen again. Like, they weren't ever going to really address it, and it was just going to kind of disappear. So I'm actually really surprised that they're actually even trying to get this to be, like, an all-digital event, especially when we have stuff like the Game Awards and stuff like that that have kind of taken over, I guess, like... as a event and stuff that you can like watch from home and stuff like that. Like, I don't really know how, like, I saw that they were saying that, you know, oh, like digital, like walkthrough of like the, like, I don't know how they would really do that effectively and stuff. And with, like you said, with
spoiler alert, they won't.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And like Nintendo has their own treehouse thing and, you know, I was like, Sony, I guess, has their state of play and stuff. It's just like, I don't really think we need it.
Well, and I mean, IndieCade kind of did their own thing. You've got, you know, they've got the, what's the thing that happens in the San Francisco Bay Area with the Indie Showcase?
GDC?
Yeah, GDC is for more like where the business meetings are happening now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's like, it in this weird way, the peak of E3 was kind of the death of E3 at the same time. You know, it's like it became this big showpiece for all these companies to turn out their new products and show them to the world and all this stuff. And at the same time, they all figured out kind of because of Nintendo. Oh, wait, we don't need this at all. Like, I don't need to spend this money at all. We could do this all in house and make and keep the money and still get the same return. So, but as someone that loved E3 growing up, I'm going to miss E3 if it actually ends up falling off, you know? Shannon, do you have, pour one out for E3?
I mean, the only thing is it was something that I wanted to put on my bucket list as far as physically going there and seeing it and just taking in the spectacle that is like something that happens in our industry that is... that was, I guess, revered and was like one of the high marks of the industry. But it'll be a bummer if it goes away, but I'm not going to cry over it. I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's just a sign of the times, and it's not relevant anymore with all these companies just doing their own press conferences. And I think it's a lot better. I think it's a more efficient way when you let the companies control what they want to put out instead of feeling pressured to put something out so that they could be at the show.
Yeah. I mean, not wrong. Not wrong.
What kind of sucks too is I'm like, it's like, I've never been to E3 either, but it's like, for me, I would want to go to E3 back in like 2010 or something like that. Like, not so much now, but like back in like the, you know, PS2, PS3, like, era, mm-hmm. like, E3 stuff, I feel like, is, like, when it was, like, at its all-time, like, peak.
Yeah. I mean, I was there at 2016, I want to say, and it was rad. It was really cool. Like, it was a total chaotic vibe, but you could already, being there, I could already tell, like, it wasn't what I'd always heard it was.
Yeah.
It felt way more PAX-ish. You know, there was a ton of just like general public there and all that. And it was like, and I mean, it was really cool for what it was. Like there was a lot of big spectacle, big displays on the floor and all that, which was really cool. But at the same time, to your point, yeah, it was obvious that the heyday had passed, you know, like it wasn't what you had always heard about anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel with, like, San Diego Comic-Con and stuff now, mm-hmm. too. It's like, I'm glad I went back in, like, 2009 and 10 and stuff when I did.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, I don't know. I don't feel like it would be the same, like, going now as it was when I went when I was, like, 20.
Totally. And plus, I'm old now. I don't want to do that shit. You
know? Yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, pour one out. We'll see what happens. Shall we talk some games, gentlemen? Shall we discuss
game.
Well, I played a shitload of Monster Train. You want to talk about that?
Oh yeah,
let's Monster talk Train's about really it. Good. I got deep into the ice people, which I was trying to win with just them, and that's really hard. By the way, like they don't play well with the plants, so I wouldn't necessarily make a deck around them. But yeah, I mean, did a bunch of Monster Train. That was mine. But why don't we talk about the game we all played together?
Mm-hmm.
We got some Gears 5 Horde mode. We were helping Shannon test out his new capture card and streaming capabilities. And so me and Justin were on the Xbox, and Shannon was manning the controls from his sparkly new gaming PC. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we ran through a Horde mode, got through all 50 levels. I'm sure Megan never wants to play with us again, because she was just like silently killing everything around her and not talking to any of us. And meanwhile, we're like, I'm over here. I'm down. Someone help me. Oh, crap. One of the grabber guys got me again. And just like you could almost just feel her just be like, ugh, go help you. OK. All right. You're back. Like
she had a lot of fun. She's just like really shy. And so she didn't really want to talk. Or whatever.
It's okay. I know we're annoying as hell. It's all right.
I mean, you can only handle so many dick jokes, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, a lot of Shannon's jokes, I would look over and she's just shaking her head like, yeah, is this dude for real?
And you're like, yes, he is for real. This is what I deal with every week. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was really a good time.
Dude, it was legit, and like once I figured out that Jack was just not like a useless support bot, that he could actually like shock people and be a nuisance, mm-hmm. I was all about like just going up there and wrecking shop. I mean, the last couple rounds, I was actually starting to get like a pretty good ebb and flow, except for the one time I just got destroyed by the I think it was a sentry that got me. A sentry shot me into a train. That's what happened.
Oh, that's great. That's really fun. Yeah. My favorite moment of the entire thing. So we were playing in the train yard, which, by the way, has trains that run through it periodically. And, you know, there's lights and sound that signal that a train is coming. In between rounds, Justin manages to get killed by a train. And I'm like, how? Like, how is, like, no one shooting at you? You're just, like, standing on the tracks as a train is coming. Oh, it was great. Dude,
what made it even better was at the beginning of the game, I brought up the train and I was like, yeah, look out for this train. And then, yeah, wave, like, 18, I was, like, running around picking up ammo and it was like, doot, doot. And I was like, what's that? And it was boom. And I was
I'm like, wait, where's Justin? There's just some cog tags laying on the ground.
Yeah, and then the Zach was nice enough to pick up my tags and bring me back to life.
I don't know. But we did pretty good, though. I don't think we died that much. Granted, I mean, we weren't playing on like any extreme difficulty or anything. Otherwise, that probably would have been a different story. But I think we did pretty good for not, you know, for being rusty.
Oh yeah, but considering it, like I hadn't played Horde mode in a year, I thought I did all right. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was real nice that Shannon was playing as Jack or whatever, and he was able to actually like fix a lot of the fortifications and stuff, which wasn't as big a deal in the beginning. But yeah, once you get to like wave 35 and all your barriers are getting wiped out like every single round because everything's just walking into it, killing it.
Are just like knocking things out in two hits and you're like,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Dude, and then like Shannon was shocking them and I'd run up with my shotgun and just blow stuff to pieces while he's zip zapping them.
But yeah, my class that I was using had the fixing ability too. It had the repair tool also, so I was able to do that as well. But and yeah, you're right, it made a big difference having two people on the team that could like repair things, not just replace them, you know. So
Justin's having Justin on mic was probably the funniest night too, because your reactions are so pure. Like, I mean, everything was just so guttural with like your responses. It was the highlight of my evening, sir.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I fucking hate those grabber things every time. It's like, so they existed, and I want to say Gears like I don't think three had them, but I think I know four had them. Four.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
But it's like you can't break out of it. There's no breaking out of it. You mash B and you kind of steer it in a direction, but it's like you can't get out of it yourself. Like someone else has to like shoot the things for it to let you go.
Yeah.
And there's multiple times where it's like there was nothing like behind me, and then all of a sudden one would somehow end up behind me and grab me, and I'm just like, help, help, like, as I'm like trying to like steer, it's like I'm trying to steer it like not into the wave of six other things. And there were times where it's like I think like Zach was down and like Megan's down, and you go and you like pick someone else up, and then you get downed as soon as you pick them up, and right,
it also didn't help that Justin was like Leroy Jenkins and like running out by himself the whole time.
Well,
and, like,
that's how my character plays though. Is I play as the what's the class called? It's like the whole thing is like your shotgun for like your upgrades and stuff. Like one of the best upgrades that you can do to yourself is it makes your shotgun do that much more damage, and then your special is that when it's active. Using your shotgun or heavy artillery weapons, like, will stun lock enemies and stuff. So, like, with the big boomer dunes, I can, like, do my special, run up with the shotgun, and before they can sit there and boom me, I can just stand in front of them and, like, blast them 3-4 times, and they can't do anything about it.
But we should do it again. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm down for it. I got all the kinks worked out. So now, you know, right out of the gate, you don't have to spend 15 minutes waiting for me to find out how to talk to you guys, which is going to be awesome. And the good news is when I called Elgato to check out if that card would work recording, you know, self-recording on the computer, they were like, oh, you might have some degradation issues. I had nothing. No degradation.
Oh, nice.
So I think it's going to be a good tool for me to get us out to the Twitch audience.
Cool. We should do it live next time and see.
I get performance anxiety.
Well, you know, just work out the kinks. It'll be all right. It's what you said. You just got to work them out. You know?
Just take some performance enhancers beforehand.
Yeah, like Red Bull, it gives you wings.
Like G Fuel.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get that gamer fuel working. So Shan, did you play anything else? Or?
Nope.
All right. So Justin.
I have been playing a game on Apple Arcade called Spire Blast. It's basically like a bubble bobble, but in a tower form. So the tower uses basic physics, and you basically want to shoot the bottom of the tower to make things fall over. There's certain objectives that you have to accomplish on each level, as far as like feeding a dragon that's flying around the tower, or, you know, hitting a certain number of this color block, or hitting whatever. It's the same formula except in a tower form as like Candy Crush or like any of those other games. It's all right. It's strangely addictive just because I like watching buildings fall over. That's all I got to say about it. That's it.
All right.
Spire Blast. Way to go.
Spire Blast. Got it. All right, Justin, what else you been playing?
So besides playing Gears with you guys, I did play Gears. I played like a wave of Horde with Megan before we played with you guys to get warmed up. And then last night, me and Megan played more Horde. And it was weird because we did our own private thing, but somehow I don't think she made it so that other people couldn't join our stuff. So like all of a sudden, like by like wave like 10 or 12 or something, we had like three more people, like real people, join us. And I was like, all right, like, I mean, this is fine, I guess. But then like they started doing the thing where it's like Megan was getting pissed off at the one dude because he kept like, I don't know, like messing with her fortifications and stuff. And then I had some dude over by me who kept taking my ammo box and stuff when I was going for it. I'm like, dude, come on, don't be that guy.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm like, you're stealing my kills. You're taking my ammo box. I'm like, the one good thing was when I got grabbed once or twice by the grabber thing, the dude like was able to shoot it. So nobody actually died the entire time we played. So that was pretty cool. But besides that, I did play this new game that just came out. It's called Quomp, Q-O-M-P. and it's by this guy I follow on Twitter named Stuff Wombat. He's like an indie dev, and he makes a lot of weird little short games and stuff. And this is his first like actual like Steam release, like pay for money, whatever game. The concept is you play as the ball in like Pong. You play as the Pong ball.
You control
with one button, and the one button is you basically kind of just like change direction and stuff. And it's like you hit the wall. So a lot of the rooms and stuff, a lot of the level design is based off like you kind of just like hitting stuff. And there's like a lot of kind of like button puzzles and like timing related stuff. And there's little boss battles and stuff that you do. And there's like certain obstacles that make it so like when you hit the wall and stuff, like, you know, it's like red and like stuff will like move and stuff. So you kind of have to time and place like where you're hitting and stuff, and like doors are here. So it's like, okay, I need to like move over to this left wall to bounce and then go at this angle here to avoid. And they have like little enemies and stuff that will kind of chase you and stuff as you're collecting like keys and stuff like that. So the art style is really cool and unique, and like the music's pretty dope. I've been enjoying it so far.
All right. So how is that spelled again?
It's Q-O-M-P.
All right.
Yeah, it's like, I want to say it's only like 6 or something like that. Like,
I'm looking at a video of it now. Yeah, I do like that art style. It's cool. Kind of reminds me of like the old school like Breakout, like Atari type stuff.
Yeah, and like the way like the camera kind of works and stuff, like everything's kind of like wiggly a little bit and like shaky and stuff. It's kind of unsettling, like the way like the camera works and stuff. It's pretty cool.
You gonna put some of that into negative space? A little fancy camera work. You steal Wombat's stuff here.
I don't mind if I do.
You're like, thank you, Steph Wombat, for all this hard work. Let me just rip this code and but anyway. So are we at the point where we need to say adios to people that have not seen WandaVision?
Yep.
All right. Yeah,
if you haven't seen WandaVision, pause the podcast, open up Disney Plus, watch episodes 1 through 5 of WandaVision, then go back to the podcast, unpause it, and come back to this part.
Because episode 5 has some things in it, you guys. Like, some stuff.
Can you break it down for me? Because that's stupid.
Well, let's see.
I mean, all I really saw is Vision start to figure some shit out, and he got pissed off, and, like, he got into his, like, aggro flying form. And then, like, Wanda got all, like, aggro in her, like, you know, crazed out, like, state. And then, like, everybody kind of mellowed out and was just like, bro, what's up? And, like, she was just like, mind your own business. It's nothing.
Okay, well, you're missing a few parts.
A lot of parts. You described 30 seconds of the show, Shannon.
What stuck out, right? All right? Like, but, you know, I mean, like, the kids, they're weird. That's what stuck out?
Not the ending?
Huh?
Okay, so... some things happen. It's been revealed that Wanda broke in and stole Vision's body from S.W.O.R.D. headquarters, which seems suspicious, as my son would say, highly sus at this point, and how it was presented and also how it was enacted. Then also it's been revealed that the kid, well, not that it's revealed, but seems very coincidental that Agnes is making the kids age fast, because every time they age up, she's there doing something and then they age. Let's see. But what I did find interesting, though, was when the dog dies and the kids seem to know that Wanda can just fix this, they're like, bring the dog back, bring the dog back. And what I found really interesting was Agnes going, wait, you can do that? Like, because she's been the one the entire time that's like, I'm playing a role. I know this is not real. Like, do you, like when she comes in, like, oh, do you want me to take that from the top? You know, like the whole thing where like she's in on it somehow. And even then, like Wanda's like, huh, what? Ha ha ha, you're being funny. You know, like she, it seemed like Wanda didn't know that Agnes was in on it necessarily, which I find very interesting. And then, but Agnes not knowing the full depth and breadth of Wanda's abilities raises a few questions in my mind. Like, okay, well, who are you if you don't necessarily know what she's capable of here? Also, from episode 4, when we saw, you know, dead Vision talking and walking around, is that what Vision looks like all the time? And Wanda's just changed his appearance? Like, is he literally just that all the time? And that was like a moment when reality bled through for a second.
So you mean, like, does everybody else see that? Or is she
separate?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I think she's manipulating everybody so that they see what she wants them to see.
And I thought it was really super disturbing when Vision broke the connection for that one dude in the office. And he's like, where am I? Oh my God. God, call my sister. I'm in so much pain. Like, she's in my head. And then he's like, oh, I'm ending this. Oh, anyway, pal, how about that email? You know? So that was super disturbing. I like when Wanda comes out of the hex and is like throws the drone back at them and is just like full Sokovian accent, like Age of Ultron level Sokovian accent, back in full of force and making big threats, like kind of Magneto style, turning all the guns on the one director, which was a nice little X-Men callback, which made a lot more sense at the end of that. But I still think Scarlet Witch is just a badass. Also, you learn that no one in the Marvel Cinematic Universe calls her Scarlet Witch. I thought that was hilarious when they're like, any names, nicknames, pseudonyms? And they're just like, no, it's just Wanda Maximoff. Like, what? I don't know. And then, yeah, the big reveal at the end, which is her and Vision having a huge fight. The doorbell rings and Vision's like, oh, great. You know, like anytime we have a conversation, you want to get out of the doorbell rings. And she's like, I didn't do that. And you find out it's Pietro, her brother, except dun, 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 it's not the MCU Pietro. It's Quicksilver from the X-Men movies at the door, who sounds like he wandered off the set of a bad Sopranos knockoff for some reason. But still, very interesting. Is this how they start bleeding the X-Men into Marvel? Your thoughts, gentlemen?
Yes. I remember seeing...
Care to expand on that anymore, Shannon?
I just remember seeing that at the end, and then when Kat turns around and she goes, they recast him? They recast Pietro? And like, you're like, oh, okay, I see how they're going to walk in X-Men and like that whole universe into MCU. It became pretty clear at that point, but I think that was a stroke of genius. Like, I mean, whoever is weaving this tapestry of a chain of events for the next string of Marvel movies, I think is, man, they're earning their money. Like, they got to be sitting there saying, like, you know, when they have this epiphany of how they're gonna blend all these things together, like, I would just love to see that aha moment, like when they're like, oh, we could do this, this would be awesome, let's just do it this way. Like, my hat goes off to whoever is writing this series. But yeah, like, I mean, there was just so much stuff in that episode that happened, and it wasn't all cheery, which I'm glad they're getting away from. Like, there wasn't a real happy tone in this episode, you know, like most of the other ones where there has been, a theme, like an era theme, like they've all been super cheery, like happy, Leave It to Beaver, like, you know, feel good TV. Like this one, like in the 80s, that kind of had like the Family Ties vibe to it, like was the first one that didn't really, that had more of like a somber type theme to it. Like, you know, the dog died. Like, you know, there was, you know, talk of death and grief and like how you can't change the outcome of certain, you know, things. there was the truth coming out of, you know, Vision, like, starting to understand that things aren't as peachy keen as he thought they were in his little world. Everything's starting to kind of crumble, but there's only, what, 8 episodes in this?
Yeah.
In this season, and we're going to be on 6 this week, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just with the depth of this story, I just hope that it's not like a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd be really disappointed if they ended this season and that was it. That says a lot, I think, for this, because the Netflix Marvel series, like Iron Fist and Luke Cage and what was the other one?
Jessica Jones.
Like, you know, they kind of fell off. Even Daredevil, like in the last couple seasons, mm-hmm. wasn't what it used to be. And you know, I would like to see something kind of like a return to form, something that gets you excited to be back in the Marvel universe without having a big budget movie. You know, be the draw, like have it be something on a smaller scale that's more accessible. So I'm in. I love it. Go for it. Justin, what's your take?
Yeah, so a lot of interesting stuff happened in this episode. I just want to start, like, for one, her leaving the Hex. So it was basically revealed she can leave at any time. She's not trapped. She can come and go if she wants. But the draw is, you know, she doesn't really want to leave. And it was really interesting, too, is because it's kind of been assumed up to this point that Wanda is the one doing this, that she's the one who set all this up. But you kind of got to see when she left the Hex and she controlled the soldiers to all point their guns, they had the Scarlet Witch eyes and, like, temple shit that she was controlling them. No one looks like that in the Hex. So I don't really think it's her controlling everything in the actual show, because no one, I don't think she's actively using her powers. And during a conversation towards the end where her and Vision were talking, she even kind of admits that she doesn't know how things really got this way. So I think she's obviously, like, in on it to some degree, but at the same time, I don't think she's fully in control of everything that's happening in there. Also, I thought it was interesting that, you know, it's also been thought that, you know, she's the one that brought Vision back, but she pretty much said she couldn't bring the dog back to life, that that's not something she could do, which means somebody else had to have brought Vision back. And I've seen people say that they think, like, Mephisto's involved in that. I kind of hope. I want Death to be in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost hoping she made a deal with Death to bring Vision back. I was kind of hoping that Death was actually going to show up in, like, Endgame and stuff, because that's kind of, in the comics, Thanos is in love with Death. And it's kind of this, like, relationship where it's, like, that's kind of why he kills everything or whatever, is like,
yeah, that was the whole point of the Infinity Gauntlet, was he was trying to, like, impress Death, basically.
Yeah, he was trying to, like, win her affection, but it was, like, never, he realized no matter how much he killed, it was never enough. And so I thought all of that was really interesting. And I noticed too that they have, like, at the headquarters thing where they're researching, like, kind of what's going on in the Hex, they have the pictures, you know, the, like, diagram of everyone that's kind of, like, playing their roles or whatever in there. If you look at Agnes's, where, like, people have, like, their passports and stuff, she's the only one that doesn't have, like, an ID next to their picture, because they don't know who the fuck she is.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of makes me think that, you know, she is going to be, like, the witch, or Agnes the witch, like, she's definitely involved.
Agatha Harkness,
and that she's somehow, like, I don't know if she's the one controlling people, but she's obviously in on it, because she sees Wanda uses her powers in front of her, like, she's more aware of what's going on and isn't, like, under the influence like everybody else in that world is. And then with the ending, bringing in the kind of the new X-Men, whatever universe, it kind of opens a lot of doors for a lot of different things to happen. One of the funniest things that I kind of thought about it, I thought it'd be hilarious of like the merging of like the Fox universe with the Marvel, is this could be a way that Chris Evans could be Human Torch again, and he could still be in the Marvel universe as Human Torch for the Fantastic Four. And that'd I think that would be fucking hilarious because it's like they see him from behind and they're like, Cap? And he's like, what the hell are you talking about? And it's like he looks exactly like Captain America, but it's the Human Torch.
He's like, wait, who's Cap? What?
Yeah. He's like, and I think at one point too, the director dude for S.W.O.R.D. said that he had like a special engineer like investigating like Vision's body, whatever. I almost am assuming that's Reed Richards. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of how they're like incorporating the Fantastic Four, since they're supposedly kind of already established in this universe. We just haven't seen them yet.
I mean, wouldn't it make sense to have something like somebody like Hank Pym like come back and like make some type of appearance as to, you know, going trying to figure out what's going on with this anomaly, or trying to find a way to shrink down and get into this world without being affected by, you know, whatever they're using. I mean, or, you know, maybe Bruce Banner or like somebody like, I mean, don't you think like an Avenger is going to make an appearance in here sooner or later?
So interesting fact, I was like, they did like the actors who play Vision and Wanda and stuff do like Q&A stuff about the show, and in one of the question interview things for her, she said in the very last episode of this season that there is a cameo appearance that will rival that of Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian, and my two guesses as to who that's going to be is, I'm assuming it's either going to be a Doctor Strange appearing, which would make sense if multiverse stuff is happening. It's kind of in his wheelhouse. Or B, I also, with them bringing in X-Men stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if Sir Ian McGregor as Magneto appears as her father in, like,
McKellen,
shows
you
up.
Mean?
Yeah.
Ian McKellen, not Ian McGregor.
I'm terrible with names, Zach. All right. I'm sorry.
The other thing that would be awesome is if it was like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yeah. Like I could see, I could see it being like one of them, like showing up kind of at the end.
Tony Stark back in the MCU. There it is. but no, I think I've shied away from all the Mephisto stuff just because it seemed like that opens a can of crazy worms if they do that for the MCU, but that is a being that could totally do this multi-dimension shit without involving Strange and all that. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'm on board. I want the ride. I'm ready for it. You know?
So. Dude, I was like, what's also funny is this is kind of, I wasn't expecting WandaVision to really be like this good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like getting worried, cause I'm like, man, like Cap and, you know, Winter Soldier's after this, and I don't really know how I'm going to feel watching that after watching, like, getting the super weird side of Marvel and then kind of getting a return to form side of Marvel, and then I'm assuming Loki's going to kind of be somewhere in the middle between weird and then, like, the action-y stuff, but I'm like, man, now that I've gotten a taste of, like, the really weird, like, what-if, like, multi, like, reality warping, like, Marvel, I'm like, man, I really kind of just want more of that.
Yeah, like Loki seems to be a lot more like Doctor Who-ish, you know? So it should be interesting to see. But I am here for all of it. Give me more MCU. I'm addicted. It's a drug. I'm ready for it. Put it in my veins. I'm good with all of this. But yes, I like you want more Fantastic Four, more of all that. The sooner we get to good Fantastic Four, the better. Like that would be the biggest kick in the balls of all this. Is I end up with the Rise of the Silver Surfer Fantastic Four. You know, we're bringing that team back, and it's like, no,
dude. I don't know if I've told you, but like People a while back fan casted for Fantastic Four. They really want Jim and Pam from The Office to be Mr. Fantastic and Ms. Fantastic. And ever since they've said that, if you look up on Google images of them, people have like photoshopped and like made them. And I'm like, they look great. I'm like, I now as Mr. and Mrs. Fantastic, and they're married in real life. Like they have that chemistry. It'll work. Right.
I can absolutely see him as Reed Richards. Like he has that. Yeah. Like that would totally
especially
work.
Like with the like kind of beard, like grayish, like scraggle weird Reed Richards, like towards the end.
Totally. Well, all right, gentlemen, I think that is a show. So, Justin, why don't you bring us on home here?
You know what, guys?
Wow, all up on the mic this week.
Dude, I was touching lip to mic.
Well, now you made it awkward. Okay.
Sorry. Thank you guys for listening to episode 126 of That Pixel Life. If you stuck around this long to listen to our WandaVision spoilers, thank you. We have a whole new Discord channel section on the That Pixel Life Discord. Solely for WandaVision spoilers right now is kind of what the hot topic is. Every week people go in there and theories are constantly flying around and changing and it's getting wild. I have to stay away from it until I watch the episode Friday night because I see it. My phone starts pinging and I'm like tempted to look. I'm just like, nope. And I just have to clear it away. I'm like, not yet. I don't want it ruined. But yeah, we have, you know, discussions about that and anything else on there. So if you haven't checked it out, you can check it out. We also have the Facebook group, which we always have. The banner actually just changed to That Bidet Life recently for the new beginning of the month. So you know, make your banner, make a new Facebook banner. I made that King of the Hill one. That's pretty fun. I have an idea for another one that I want to make. That's going to be pretty funny. So get on those. Even Shannon, who has 100 hours in MS Paint, can make one.
I have like 25 hours in MS Paint.
Oof. You got to get those numbers. Those are rookie numbers, my man. Get those up.
I know. Got to get those numbers up.
And if Robbie was here, Zach, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey, guys, go be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he'd say.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's it. Wanna keep on going, baby. Go to the wind. Hands up, hands down. Back up, back up. Tell me what you gonna do.